Okay, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome my guest to this morning's programme, and it's CEO of Parentline, and it's Rita O'Reilly. Good morning, Rita. Welcome to Lifeline.
Thank you, Leslie. How are you?
I'm grand. Rita, I seen a little press release about Childline. There we go. Now, I said exactly the same thing to you yesterday, Childline. Parentline. And I have stressed this before you came on air. I have stressed this to the listeners that we're not talking about Childline today. We're talking about Parentline. And it's a very, very important service that you're providing, because in the day and age that we're living in, you can't do anything because you're not doing it right if you're a parent in some kids' eyes. And then there's a lot of things moved on now, so you need to be politically correct and so forth. And would I be right in saying those things, Rita?
Yeah, I think it is getting harder for parents. And I suppose when you say, first of all, Leslie, when you say Childline, you could describe Parentline as Childline for Mammy and Daddy.
Yes, yes.
You know, so there's somewhere that they can ring up and talk. So it's probably a good way of remembering it, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, things are definitely getting harder, I think, for parents, particularly, as you say, things like political correctness or internet and all of that. Kids are very vulnerable, mm-hmm. and parents aren't as up to date as probably as they should be. They need to get their act together, basically.
Yeah.
It can be very, very difficult for them.
I mean, talking about the internet, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and there's a new game out that the kids are playing, and I suppose predators can get through to it. And she's saying to me, I don't know if I really want her to have that game, and I told her not to accept anybody on it. But like that, you can't watch them 24 hours a day. And the kids, unless you, I mean, I've started turning off my internet at night now, because I've teenage boys, so I'm right in the thick of it, Rita. But do you remember there a while ago there was a game came out called Simmy Simmy, and you put your name in and it was able to tell you what people had said about you?
I mean, that sort of thing is just awful.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, how can the kids deal with that, and how can parents protect the kids from that? I mean, we used to be told don't take sweets from strangers, you know.
Yeah.
And that was really it. But I mean, now it's all invasive and it's in everybody's home, and as you say, you have to turn off the internet. Now, fair play to you, you really do have to do that, particularly for young teenagers. It gets harder as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no protection at all if that internet is there all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not only that people are, what people might say about them or speak negatively of them, but if they're playing games in the bed until 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. they're not going to sleep properly. They're not going to be able to get up for school in the morning. You know, everything is affected. They become cranky. You end up having a battle in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's everything is affected by it. And even their exercise and their diet and everything is affected by it, because they become sort of obsessed by it almost. They, you know, they sit there playing on these games for a long, long time and forget about everybody in the world. They just engage with it, which is not good for them.
Yeah. I said last night...
And I mean, how does a parent stop that? I mean, they say, no, you're not playing that anymore. And then there's going to be a big battle. Oh, everybody has that game and everybody can play. Mm-hmm. You're the worst mammy in the world.
Yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah, and you need to get me this and you need to get me that. And I don't know, but the boys nowadays, they want designer this, designer that. And if you don't get it, like, they get upset over it, and you're making a show of them if you even suggest wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms from Pennies. Like, the peer pressure on them is unbelievable.
It is, it is. And it, I mean, it is, at the end of the day, it probably is down to the parents to say, it's my money, I'll spend it as I please. Now, you don't want to make your child look like an idiot in any way, you know.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But there's nothing wrong with a Pennies tracksuit. And but it is up to the parent. But and then at the end of the day, it is the parent's purse, and they have to say, no, I'm not spending that money, or I'm not buying that, or I don't think you need it, I don't think you deserve it, I think that's too dear, and all of those questions. But having said that, the parent has to have that battle. It's not sort of, no, love, I'm not buying it for you, and they say, okay, ma'am, that's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. That is, the battle is there. So it's a hard, hard road for a parent.
Yeah. Do you ever see that advertisement on the television about the mother and she's having the battle we're talking about, and she goes out into the back garden and she smokes a cigarette, and I forget what the ad is for now, there's silly me, but I know what it's about she's going out there to relieve the stress, but I think it's about and it's an anti-smoking advertisement too, but it shows you certain things can, like, I mean, certain people, I know friends of mine, and they'd say to me, I'm after having the day from hell with your man and your woman, killings in the house, and this happened, and I'm sitting down now and I'm having a glass of wine. Now, on a normal school night, you probably wouldn't bother with the glass of wine, but sometimes you just need to relieve that pressure.
Yeah, well, I suppose, that's why Parent Line's there. You know, that's when you pick up the phone to Parent Line and you talk to a Parent Line volunteer. Now, they're all trained in counselling and listening skills, and as well as all, they get ongoing training in the various topics they encounter on the line, but they have the time and space to spend with the caller, and it's absolutely anonymous. We don't see any numbers coming up on the phone, or if we ring you back, our number doesn't come up on the phone, so it's completely anonymous. We don't know who's ringing, what part of the country they're ringing from, and we're just there to, instead of having the glass of wine, or instead of turning to the cigarette, or instead of having the row, ring Parent Line and have a chat about it.
That's a great
idea.
Just
problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah.
And then we might have some sort of tips or suggestions that would help the situation. Or indeed, sometimes the situation is actually not that bad, but if everybody's as stressed and upset, it escalates. Whereas if you can just sort of see the wood for the trees, take a breath, be a bit calmer, maybe it's not that bad, maybe we can overlook it this time and the row doesn't happen, and that's important.
But it's great to have the opportunity to be able to ring and get it off your chest and just rant, even if it's... I'm sure you probably do get people that ring up and they're like, and this happened and that, and they're in an awful state when they call you up initially, and then by the end of the phone call they probably feel like, God, I'm so sorry for blabbering all that out to you, but they feel 10 times better.
Oh, yeah. You often get people that ring up and they can't talk. They're so upset.
They're just crying
and they can't talk. But that's okay. We're there for them, and our volunteer would say, look, just sit there. When you're ready, speak. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to go and make a cup of tea? I'll wait here and we'll talk then. And they go away. You sometimes actually hear the volunteers laughing. You know, it turns around completely, and it becomes a pleasant situation, you know.
Yes.
So it's, it definitely works. And I have to say, Leslie, I'm fortunate enough to work there. And I've got two older kids now. My kids are 28 and 20 now.
Yeah.
But while they were growing up, there was many of the time I went into the volunteers and had a little chat with them about things. And I found it great, absolutely great. And sometimes it was... I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I know one time my youngster wanted to go and see some band in the Point Echo. And after, he was, I think, 15 or 16. And after days of, please, we gave in and we said, OK, and we'll give you a lift down and collect you. And that was it. And I didn't care how other people were getting there. He was getting a lift down and he was being collected. Kind of story. And... about two or three days before the concert, this band played up in Belfast, and there were 52 kids taken out of the concert having taken drugs.
Jesus.
And when I heard this, I said to my youngster, there's no way you're going to that, and that's the end of that, because you see, Leslie, I'm a perfect parent, and I said, no, you're not going.
Yeah.
And I was doing the right thing, as far as I was concerned, and that was that. And it was a big hullabaloo. Please, you're mean, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, you're horrible. I hate you. I can imagine. I hate you.
All of that. And my husband came in, and I told him, he said, oh, absolutely not. There's no way. So we were perfect parents. That's it. Not happening. And I went into work, and I was telling one of the volunteers, and she said, hold on, Lisa, just take a breath here. What's that saying to your son? And I looked at her, and she said, that is telling him you don't trust him. You have agreed to let him go. You told him you trusted him. Now you're saying, some kid in Belfast took drugs, so I expect you to take drugs. She said, it's completely wrong. And I remember the feeling then saying, do you know what? Just by sharing that with her, I wasn't the perfect parent. I was trying to be, oh, I'm great. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm minding my son perfectly. But I was doing the wrong thing completely. And she just, you know, it's a simple situation, Leslie, but it just kind of changed it. And lo and behold, in the papers the next day, the 52 kids were on the bus from Donegal and they took their drugs on the bus. Nothing whatsoever to do with the concert.
No.
You know?
But, like, I suppose the fact that you were making him aware of it, like, in itself is just, it's sane enough too, you know what I mean? And you were aware of it and you're guiding him in the right direction. And maybe it was a good thing that you said, no, you're not going to go. Did you let him go in the end, Rita?
Oh, he went. He went in the end, because when the woman in work said to me, you know, that would suggest you're not trusting him. And I went and I said to him, look, Kevin, I'm going to let you go because I trust you.
Yeah.
Not to take the drugs. And it was good all round. But can you imagine if I hadn't had that conversation with the woman in work? Can you imagine what our house would have been like that weekend?
Yeah.
You know, everybody would have been fighting. You know, and it was just the simple thing to do.
I'm telling you.
They were able to take the emotion out of it from me. It would be more practical.
Yeah, and it was a great piece of advice, and I'll be using that myself. Thanks very much. I have a text in here from a lady. I have an abusive child. He puts it up to me. He has hit me in the past, doesn't anymore, because I told him that if he did, I'd call the police. Very bad tempered. Any advice?
Well, I would say the Parentline has a program called Non-Violent Resistance Program, and it was developed in. Developed in Israel, and a guy from Galway University adapted it for Ireland, and they've trained a team of Parentine people in the program, and it lasts about 6 or 8 weeks, and the parent would ring on a weekly, or we'd ring the parent on a weekly an agreed time every week, call lasts about an hour, and through every week for about 6 or 8 weeks we go through a program to stop that kind of aggression and that anger. And the very first point is de-escalating, which you just walk away from the violence and don't rise to it.
Yeah.
Which can be very hard, but that's the first thing in it. And then there's various steps to it. And I have to say, like, it sounded really, really successful.
Right.
Very successful. So it might be worth around that woman's called Good Parent Line Above and talk to them about it. And then I could, you know, she explained her particular situation and suggest that her and we can get that in place.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Rita, there. I just didn't catch the name of that organisation.
It's called the Non-Violent Resistance Programme, and it's Parentline that runs it, but it's called, the programme is called Non-Violent Resistance Programme.
Non-Violent Resistance.
And the purpose is to stop any violence, to stop the anger, stop the aggression in the home. Because it shouldn't happen. Nobody should be guilty in their own home, and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even investigate, talk about why it's there, or what could be causing it. What they do is stop.
Yeah, and give you advice. And
like everything else, I mean, it's not 100% guarantee, but what we've found is works really, really well.
That's a great one to know there. I hope that satisfies that caller's text there. Non-violent resistant programme, and that is run by Parentline. That's very good.
The Parentline number, 1899-27277, and somebody will talk you through it.
Yeah. Rita, tell me, are you flat out with people calling, or how is things going? Are you like, I know you're looking for volunteers as well to man the phones. Is there a crisis with parents falling apart, basically?
No, we look for volunteers on an ongoing basis. And I have to say, Parentline has been really, really lucky. We have a couple of people who are with Parentline nearly 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say it's a lovely place to work. So I'd say that first before we ask people to come and volunteer. At the same time, life moves on. So a number of people have to leave. You know, they look after elderly parents or get a job or move on to something else. So we have to replace people from time to time. And we're currently recruiting volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
What we ask of the volunteers is 3 hours a week. We're based in the Carmichael Centre in Brunswick Street. So 3 hours, it's a dedicated 3 hours every week. So you know that if your shift is 1 to 4 on Tuesday, well, that's it. You come in every Tuesday 1 to 4. Obviously, if you're sick or on holidays or whatever, we make special arrangements. Before taking calls, we give training and counselling listening skills, and that's happening starting on the 4th of November. And then after that, there's ongoing training on a monthly basis.
Very good.
So we would encourage volunteers to go to as much of that as they can, because it is good stuff, I have to say. We've got somebody coming in from asking about alcohol this month, and it's, you know, I know it would be a good talk. We try and match the volunteers on the shift so that they're with people they know and like and have a bit of, enjoy working there. And if they get a difficult call, we'd encourage them to make a cup of tea, always tea and biscuits on there all the time. No, in supermarket in Fontarf supply tea and biscuits for us, and they're always there. And so have a cup of tea, have a chat, and don't bring those calls home with you.
Yes.
So one another, they're supporting one another. So it altogether becomes a really nice place to work. So I would encourage anybody who's thinking about volunteering, give us a shout. And the other thing about it is, it's actually very good for your parenting.
Yeah.
You know, you learn an awful lot as a parent to help you parent yourself. So I would encourage people to give it a shot.
Yeah, it's something there that you touched on. Alcohol and drugs are starting are rampant in secondary schools, particularly. Well, in the school my son goes to is a huge secondary school, and they've a huge drug problem. And we had a big meeting there quite a while ago, and the teachers were saying that the stuff that they're smoking now is 7 to 10 times more stronger than what it used to be, say, 20 years ago. Not that it was any good to smoke it 20 years ago. I'm not saying that. It's just that now there's so many chemicals in it that it is addictive. Where years ago they'd used to say, a few smokes is not addictive. It chills you out and all this and bloody blah. But now this weed that's getting sold on the streets is crammed with chemicals, and it is addictive, and the kids are going off their head in it.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and it's very, very accessible, and in relative terms it's cheap.
Yeah.
We had a guardian training us last year, and he showed us what's available and demonstrated what can be done, the harm it will have, and it's shocking. It really is shocking. And I mean, the only thing parents can do is just keep an eye on it. Maybe they don't need as much, the kids don't need as much money as, you know, if they're spending it, they might need as much money. And just keep an eye, watch out for their eyes, watch out for smells off their clothes, know who they're with. But keep them informed, talk to them, make sure that the kids know. Now, I have to say, every kid that ever was knows more than you or I do about drugs, and no matter what you say about it, they'll have the answer for it. Uh-huh. But at the same time, the parent needs to keep themselves informed and have that chat with the child, and just make it very clear that it is not allowed in your house.
It's
not allowed. And just put up the deterrent.
I constantly tell my boys, you know, if you want to go down that road, go down it. I'll say, because you'll end up on the street. You'll end up, nobody will want you, and it'll eat your body away and you'll die. And you think, I'll have a few drags. Go ahead, do that. Be the hero that has a few drags. And I always say to them, don't be bullied into anything, or come on, have a drag. Because I know people that did start taking drugs and exactly that situation happened to them. It was a real case of, go on, just try this. And before they knew it, they were strung out. And you don't want to see that happening to your kids.
It's important to keep talking to them like that and let them know how much you care about it. You know, that it's out of love that you don't want them to do it. But the other thing is you give them the opportunity to say no, so that if they do feel pressurised by friends into taking or whatever, that they have the confidence to say no, and that they have the language to say no, that you keep them informed that way, you know, that what they should say to keep themselves safe, or what they do to get them away from that gang or whatever.
I was
just saying it's ongoing and it's constant.
Yeah, and like the likes of cocaine is now classed as nothing. Sure, that's nothing. That's nothing is what you're getting, you're hearing. Imagine that people think that, like, cocaine is nothing. That's horrendous. And it's just, it's mind blowing. But like that, exactly what you say, make sure that you have the conversation. I definitely am not going to lie to you. I'm always on to my kids about it. And I'm always saying, you see what happens. And God loved them and this, that and the other. And wouldn't you hate that to be you? And you just think about how good of a mother you have that's always looking out after your back. And I kind of think that I have got the message. Now, do you know what I want to touch on briefly? Single parents, would you have more single parents? Or another category would be parents that are not single, but they're on their own all day with their kids and their partner maybe at work and late nights and so forth. So they are kind of stressed to the limits.
Yeah, you get a lot of people who feel isolated. Sometimes they're single parents, sometimes they're parenting with a partner, but they still feel isolated. Maybe they're in the house all day or whatever. Yeah. But and that can be very hard and very lonely. Maybe a day would go by where they wouldn't have any adult company.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, we would say, in that situation, if you're stressed, if you're lonely, if you feel isolated, ring Parentline and have a chat. Have a chance, because then you're talking to somebody, you're talking to an adult, you're talking to somebody who can support you, who can help you. So, give it a buzz. We do get a lot of calls from people who just feel lonely.
I think it's lovely what you're providing. Would you get many men calling you, Rita?
We get about 3,000 calls a year, and 84% are women and 16% are men. So that number's growing. We get more and more men ringing. It was fewer, but it is growing, definitely. So,
That's great, though. It's great that loads of things are changing.
We've got some male volunteers as well. So,
fantastic.
If a man did call and wanted to speak to a man rather than a woman, we can do that as well. Although it very seldom happens that somebody would make that request. Typically, they speak to whoever answers the phone.
I mean, there's loads of things that people can ring Parentline for, not just the obvious. I mean, if you think that there's somebody bullying your child and the child won't admit it, and, you know, I suppose it'd be nice to call and say, you know, can you give me any advice what I do?
Your parents often ring, maybe if they're fearful, if they do suspect bullying, that they ring to ask, well, what would be the signs that your child is being bullied, and what can you do about it? Or maybe if they're going to the school to discuss it, they might ring us in advance and sort of say, practice the conversation, really, you know, so they've got their thoughts together and they know what to say when they get into the school.
Yeah. Okay, so... Sorry,
Leslie.
No, go on, sorry, Rita.
Likewise, with any aspect, if they want to go and see the school about anything, bullying or the child studying or not studying or in the right class or not in the right class, or even if they want to approach a child about something, I suspect my child might be taking drugs, that they might ring us in advance and just kind of talk it through so that when the child does come in and they're going to approach them, they have their thoughts clear.
Yeah, and you don't scream your head off them and freak out. And
exactly.
Yeah, because that, I suppose, can turn things into 10 times worse. And as you said yourself, a problem shared is a problem halved. Rita, before we let you go, could you let us know how can people become a volunteer if they would like to get involved in Parentline?
Well, a couple of options. One is if they check parentline.ie. The application form is on the site.
Yeah.
And you can download that and email it, fill it out and email it or post it into Parentline.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to ring the helpline, it's 1-890-927-277 or 873-3500. And the person that you're speaking to will fill you in on what's going on. So usually what happens is we get the application form and then we arrange to meet the person. And then they go to the training on the 4th and the 11th of November.
Yeah.
And then after that, then they would go into the helpline and be mentored by experienced volunteers. And when the volunteer is ready, they can take a call. We don't force them. You know, you have to feel confident and feel trained enough and feel supported to do it. And so that could take a couple of weeks or it could take a couple of months whenever the volunteer is ready.
Yeah, and like that as well, I suppose it's a great opportunity for you to become a better parent. Not that people are not great parents, but every day is a school day, as they say.
Exactly, exactly. And there's no such thing as a perfect anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're learning all the time. And it's just, and I would say this as well, it's good fun. It's a nice place to work.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good bunch of people, and we'd make an effort to match people on the shift so that, you know, that you get on with the person you work with, and because that's very important. We want people to come in and enjoy coming into Parentline once a week. It's a huge commitment, 3 hours mm-hmm. a week, and we want them to enjoy that commitment.
Yeah, and as well as that, like, people that have been through a hell of a lot with their children, they will have a lot of advice, a lot of experience, and a lot to share. And
a lot of experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rita, it's come to the end of our time, unfortunately. I'd love to keep talking to you, and I must say, it's a great service you're providing, and I'd love to come back and talk to you maybe nearer to Christmas, if you wouldn't mind. I'm sure that
anytime, Leslie.
Yeah,
you know where we are.
And the numbers are 1890 927277 or 8733 500. Is that right, Rita?
That's right. And the lines are open 10 until 9 Monday to Thursday, and 10 until 5 on Friday.
Do you have a Facebook page, Rita?
Very bad. I'm very bad on social media. I'm sorry.
Ah, sure. Come here.
We do have a Facebook page, but it's not great.
Ah, well,
my New Year's resolution next year was to improve on that.
But sure, you never know. You might get a volunteer out of it now to do the Facebook page.
Well, if I get a volunteer that does that, I would be really, really appreciative of it.
Oh.
It would be fantastic.
Well, there you go, guys. It's Hair to Hear first on Ear FM. Okay. Rita, many, many thanks to you for joining us this morning on Lifeline. And I wish you and your colleagues the best in the future. And you're doing a fantastic job. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.